Well, while you're getting settled, I just want to say thank you to all of the people who have helped serve at the Wheeler Mission this past year. We don't have any more time scheduled because during the holidays, they always have plenty of volunteers. But I will be reserving some more times to serve, so watch the bulletin for that. But we do have an opportunity coming up on Saturday, January the 18th from 7 to 9 o'clock is recreational night. Every Saturday from 7 to 9, they have recreational night at the Wheeler Mission for Women and Children. And I know the bulletin says I think we need 10 more people. Actually, I think we only need about 7. So if you'd like to come, and we're going to play some bingo because they love to play bingo, and then we're going to sing some songs and have a little Bible study for the women and children and have time to visit with them that are there that night. But the first time we showed up, none of us had ever been there before, and Reese, who runs the kitchen, I don't know why, but she came up to me and she said, "Do you have a scripture and a prayer?" And I looked at her with this look of puzzlement on my face, and I said, "What?" She said, "Do you have a scripture and a prayer?" And I looked at her again with puzzlement, and I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. This is our first time here." And she says, "Well, before you serve supper, you have to go out and you have to read scripture and offer a prayer." And I went, "Jesus wept?" She did not find that humorous at all. She was not at all impressed with that. So I managed to get a couple of verses out and had a prayer. And since then, I think Jim has offered a few scriptures and a prayer. And I think the last time we were there, sometime before that, Krista offered a few verses, and then I prayed. So if you want to show up, just be aware, I may turn to you and say, "Okay, it's your turn to quote a scripture or read a scripture." But let me encourage you to sign up. It was an eye-opener for me. During the winter time, starting in November, they have what they call winter contingency. Any woman or any child is welcome to come in off the streets and have supper. They don't have to stay there if they don't want to, but if they do want to stay, they can, but they have to sleep on the gym floor because most of the other time all the beds are full. But we served probably 7 to 80 women and children last week, and our last time this year will be tomorrow. And we've already got plenty of volunteers, but again, watch the bulletin for more opportunities to serve there, and let me encourage you to do that. It will make you appreciate what you have. Well, as we bring the Advent season to a close, last week we looked at the angel appearing to Zechariah and Elizabeth and telling them that they will have a son, and the angel appearing to Mary and telling Mary she will have a son. And so now we come to the time where Jesus is presented in the temple, and just listen to me as I read a portion from Luke chapter 2. "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem," and that is Jesus, "they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And so, because they were good Israelites, Joseph and Mary, after the time of purification was over, they come to the temple to do what the law required. And there is this elderly gentleman named Simeon, who is described as righteous and devout, and who had been told by the Holy Spirit that he was not going to die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And think about that for a second. I mean, this was a prophecy that had taken hundreds and thousands of years to be fulfilled. And when the angel appears to Mary and says to Mary, "You have found favor with God," and tells Mary that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her, and she's going to conceive, and she's going to bear a child, and he is the Christ. And she very humbly and faithfully said, "I am your servant." And we don't know how long Simeon had been told that he was not going to die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. We don't know if it was a matter of weeks or months or years. But he evidently believed that. He evidently believed when the Holy Spirit told him he was not going to die until he had seen the Lord Christ. He evidently believed that. And so the Holy Spirit indicates to him, now's the time. And so he goes to the temple. And I don't know how he knew it was Joseph and Mary and the little baby in their arms. I'm assuming the Holy Spirit pointed them out to him. And so here's Joseph and Mary, and I'm not sure which one was carrying, you know, the baby Jesus, probably Mary. But here they are walking into the temple, knowing they have the Christ in her arms, knowing they have the Savior of the world, and they're going to do what the law says. And actually, Luke doesn't quote all of the law. What he quotes is a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons as the offering. Actually, what the law says is that you're supposed to bring a lamb. And then it goes on to say, but if you can't afford a lamb, bring turtle doves or a pigeon. It tells you how poor Joseph and Mary were. They couldn't afford to bring a lamb, and they couldn't afford to buy a lamb. And so they brought the turtle doves and the pigeons. These were just common, average, everyday Israelites scratching to make a living who had been chosen to give birth to the Christ. And so they walk into the temple, and as they're walking into the temple or walking in the temple, this stranger, this old man that they don't know, comes up to Mary and evidently takes the baby. Now, we have no indication at all that Jesus was fast asleep or that he was quiet. Maybe if he was screaming, Mary would have gladly said, "Here, take him," you know, as some mothers do, you know, if their child is fussy and acting up, "Here, yeah, go ahead and take him." But this is a strange old man. And we're not told if Simeon said, "Hey, I'm the one that the Holy Spirit said, you know, would not see death until I've seen the Lord's Christ, and the Holy Spirit has indicated to me that this is your son. Your son is the Christ." We don't know if he said anything to him or if he just walked up to Mary and took the baby. But obviously, Mary let him take it. And so here he is. The promise that the Holy Spirit had given him was now being fulfilled. And so he says, "Lord, Now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And you can kind of imagine that Joseph and Mary are standing there listening to this elderly gentleman that they don't know say, Lord, now you can let your servant depart in peace like you've said, because I have seen your salvation and I am holding him. And Mary and Joseph are, as he says, are marveling at what he says. And then Simeon looks at Mary. And he says to her, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. And he is a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul as well. And there's no indication that Mary really understood that. No indication that Joseph really understood the full ramifications of that, and they probably couldn't, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's go back to what Luke had told us about Simeon. And so he says he is waiting for, in verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Think about that. What do you do when you console somebody? Well, it kind of all depends on the circumstance, doesn't it? If somebody has lost a loved one and you're consoling them, you're probably offering them some words of comfort. Something like, I'm sorry this has happened. I feel sorry for you. I'm sorry you're hurting. On the other hand, if it's a sporting event that you have lost, I know Malachi doesn't know what that's like, but I've lost a few handball matches in my life. But if it's a sporting event that you have lost and somebody is consoling you, they are probably as well offering some words of condolences. Sorry that happened to you, but also offering some words of encouragement. You'll get them next time. Maybe you won't knock over three hurdles next time. Maybe you'll only knock over one. But the idea of consoling people is the idea of offering comfort, but also of encouragement. And Simeon had been told he would not die until he had seen the consolation of Israel. And again, you think about the common, average, everyday Israelite in those times. It had been hundreds and thousands of years before this promise had been made. We get irritated if we sit in the fast food lane for more than 3 minutes and they haven't delivered our food yet. And these people had waited thousands of years for this promise. And here he is. The one who is going to offer comfort to his fellow Israelites, the one who is going to offer encouragement to his fellow Israelites. Because as we all know, he certainly wasn't what they were expecting. He certainly didn't come on the scene and get him a big army and start whooping up on the Romans. And that's what they expected. Even John the Baptist, his cousin, the one who was promised by the Holy Spirit to be a forerunner of the Christ, the one who went and prepared the way for Jesus, even he had his doubts. And so he sent some of his disciples to Jesus and to ask him the question, are you the one? Are you really the one that I came and talked about? Or do we look for somebody else? Because Jesus wasn't doing what John the Baptist thought the Redeemer of Israel should be doing. And yet Simeon says, I have seen the consolation of Israel. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now again, you think about that. You think about where Simeon is. Simeon's in the temple. Simeon's in the Jewish temple. You don't talk about the Gentiles while you're in the Jewish temple. And if you were a halfway decent Israelite at all, you didn't talk about the Gentiles at all. You remember when the Syrophoenician woman came up to Jesus and said, "Would you heal my daughter? She is possessed with a demon." And Jesus just ignores her. So she goes to his disciples. And what they say is, they turn to Jesus and said, "Would you tell this woman to leave us alone?" That's real Christian, isn't it? That's real Christ-like. "Would you just tell this woman to leave us alone?" And so she goes to Jesus again and she says, "Would you heal my daughter?" And he says, "I was not sent." I was not sent to the Gentiles. And so here's Simeon in the Jewish temple holding Jesus in his arms and saying, "He is a light for revelation to the Gentiles." Now the Syrophoenician woman said, "You're right. You weren't sent to people like me. But I'll take the crumbs from the table." And he said, "Great is your faith." And he healed the woman's daughter. But here's Simeon in the Jewish temple saying, "This baby is a light for revelation to the Gentiles." And I'm not certain of this, but I think just about every one of us in here ought to say thank you. Because we're Gentiles. And you remember in Acts, when Paul, on several occasions in the Jewish synagogue, just simply says to those Jews that are gathered there, "I'm done with you all. I'm done with you. Because I preach to you the truth that Jesus is the Christ and you all have rejected it, and I am turning to the Gentiles." And the Gentiles, every time he did that, were glad and rejoiced. And then Simeon says, "And also for glory to your people Israel." There was some glory in the fact that God chose the Israelites. And they took some pride in the fact that God chose them to bring the Savior into the world. And then he turns to Mary. And he looks at Mary and he says, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. How would you like to have been told that as a mother? Your child is going to be the focal point. And what's going to happen is a lot of people are going to look at your child. And a lot of folks are going to listen to what your child is saying. And what your child is claiming to be. And they're going to look at the signs that he performs. And they're going to listen to what he says. And a lot of people aren't going to like it. He is going to be opposed. And I think the phrase that he says to her, "and a sword will pierce even your own soul also," means to her that you're going to have to sit there and watch it. And it is not going to be pleasant. Not only is your son going to be opposed, but you're going to have to stand there and watch it. And there's not a thing in the world you can do about it. For those of us who are parents, I can remember, and it's been 34 years ago, I can remember when Rachel was born, I vowed right then and there nobody was going to harm her. And if they did, they were going to have to answer to me. And yet here's Mary. Here's little old Mary, probably a mid-teen to late teenage girl, who is being told, your son is going to be the focal point, because he's going to come and he's going to claim to be the Son of God. And he's going to teach some things which a lot of people aren't going to like. And there's not a thing in the world you can do about it. How would you like to have to live with that for the rest of your life? So I think what we can take away from Simeon is a couple of things. One, God fulfills his promises. The Holy Spirit had told Simeon, you're not going to die until you have seen the Lord's Christ. Now again, I don't know how long he had been told that, but God fulfilled that promise. And he got to see the Lord's salvation. And he got to see the Lord's Christ. And then I think the other thing that we can take away from Simeon is what he told Mary. When you stand up for what is right, there are going to be some people who don't like it. That's just the way that it is. When you stand up for what is right, when you defend those people who are weak and can't defend themselves, and when you stand up and say, quit making fun of that girl, quit making fun of that young boy. You know, one of the things that has always amazed me, and I'm sure I participated in it when I was young. I can't remember it, but I'm sure I did. Children can be some of the meanest people. And maybe that's not a fair word, because I'm not sure they know they're doing it when they're really young. But I think as they get older, they know. But children can say some of the meanest things about other children. And I can remember sitting by and watching people be made fun of by the cool kids. Even though I was never one of the cool kids, I wanted to be one of the cool kids. And so when the cool kids were picking on people, I stood quietly by and just let them pick on them, because, one, I wanted to be one of the cool kids, and second, I didn't want to be the object of the cool kids' ridicule. When we stand up for truth and for what is right, people aren't going to like it. And that's just the way that it is. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't stand up. And Simeon told Mary, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. It's going to be like a sword piercing you to watch what they do to your child, and you are going to be totally helpless to stop it. So stand up for what's right. Let's defend those who can't defend themselves. Let's speak out for those who have no voice, because we're surrounded by people who, for the most part, society just overlooks. And they are taken advantage of. They have no voice. And we do, because we're God's children. And I think that's one of the things that we can learn from Simeon. So as we bring the year to a close, and as we bring this Advent season to a close, as Mike mentioned earlier, and the new year is going to start on Wednesday, let's all resolve to stand up for what's right, and to stand up for the weak and those who have no voice. Because Jesus is a light of revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to his people Israel. If your relationship with God is not what it ought to be, no reason to leave the building this morning without being in a proper relationship with God. And if we can help you do that, then just let us know while we stand and sing.